I'm gonna praise him, for he is worthy. Gonna praise him, for he is worthy. The rocks and the hills, they must be silent, 'cause I'm praising him while I can. I'm gonna praise him, for he is worthy. Gonna praise him, for he is worthy. The rocks and the hills, they must be silent, 'cause I'm praising him while I can. I'm gonna praise him, for he is worthy. Gonna praise him, for he is worthy. The rocks and the hills, they must be silent, 'cause I'm praising him while I can. I'm gonna praise him, for he is worthy. Gonna praise him, for he is worthy. The rocks and the hills, they must be silent, 'cause I'm praising him while I can. I'm gonna praise him, for he is worthy. Gonna praise him, for he is worthy. The rocks and the hills, they must be silent, 'cause I'm praising him while I can. I'm gonna praise him, for he is worthy. Gonna praise him, for he is worthy. The rocks and the hills, they must be silent, 'cause I'm praising him while I can. Oh, hallelujah, Almighty God. We lift up our praise to you tonight, oh God. You are worthy of all the glory, the praise, and the honor. Lord and Creator, sweet Jesus. Glory, my God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord, with the heart of thanksgiving. I will bless thee, O Lord, with my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise. With a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. With a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. With my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise, with the heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. With a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. With my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise, with the heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. With the heart thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord.
with my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise, with a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O I am thinking of a rapture in our blessed home on high, when the redeemed are gathering in. I will raise that heavenly anthem in that city in the sky, when the redeemed are gathering in. Well, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from sin. Oh, I will shout hallelujah and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in. There will be a great procession over on the streets of gold when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, what music, oh, what singing, oh, that city will be rolled when the redeemed are gathering in. Gathering in, washed like snow and free from sin. I will shout and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Saints will sing redemption story with their voices clear and strong when the redeemed are gathering in. Then the angels will all listen, for they cannot join that song when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from sin. Oh, I will shout hallelujah and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Then the Savior will give orders to prepare that banquet board when the redeemed are gathering in. And we'll hear his invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord, when the redeemed are gathering in. Yeah, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from sin. Oh, I will shout glory, Lord, and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in. And the Savior will give orders to prepare that banquet board when the redeemed are gathering in. And we'll hear his invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, in the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from sin. Oh, I will shout, I love you, Lord, and I will sing. Oh, in the redeemed are gathering in. Yes, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from sin. And I will shout hallelujah and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Yes, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from sin. Oh, I will shout, I love you, Lord, and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in. When the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, yes, my God. Lord Jesus, I see you on that throne, Lord Jesus. To glorify you face to face, my God. He is all I need. He is all I need. Jesus is
I need. He saves, he keeps, he satisfies. Jesus is all I need. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He saves, he keeps, he satisfies. Jesus is all I need. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He saves, he keeps, he satisfies. Jesus is all I need. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He saves, he keeps, he satisfies. Jesus is all I need. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He saves, he keeps, he satisfies. Jesus is all I need.
Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. He has saved me from each snare forevermore, and in his care. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. He has saved me from each snare forevermore.
Yeah.
Jehovah, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. He will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. He will give his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh, caring for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh, caring for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. He will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. He will give his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh, caring for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh, caring for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. Supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. He will give his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh, careth for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh, careth for me.
Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back, I won't turn back.
Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back,
then give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back, I won't turn back. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. This whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back, I won't turn back. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world. Give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back, I won't turn back.
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Oh, mighty God, all I need is you, Lord Jesus.
Well, thank you, Lord. Here's a thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Here's a thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for choosing me. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for giving your spirit to me. Well, I thank you, Lord. Yes, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Yes, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for choosing me. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for giving your spirit to me. Yes, I thank you, Lord. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Well, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for choosing me. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. I thank you, Lord, for giving your spirit to me. Well, I thank you, Lord. Yes, I thank you, Lord. Well, thank you, Lord. Yes, I thank you, Lord. Well, thank you, Lord, for choosing me. Thank you, Lord, for Lord, for giving your spirit to me. Well, I thank you, Lord. Yes, I thank you, Lord. Well, I thank you, Lord. Yes, I thank you, Lord. Well, I thank you, Lord, for choosing me. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for giving your spirit to me. Well, I thank you, Lord. 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 Well, I thank you, Lord, for choosing me. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for giving your spirit to me. Well, I thank you, Lord. Yes, I thank you, Lord. Well, I thank you, Lord. Well, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for choosing me. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for giving your spirit to me. Oh, yes, my God. My heart is filled with thanksgiving to you, Lord Jesus, for all your blessings, Lord God, for all your touches and your strength.
Praise God, you may be seated. Praise God. Let's sing one last song before the Word of God.
Here I am, Lord. Here I am. I give all myself to Thee. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Let your spirit move through me, Lord. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. I give all myself to Thee. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Let your spirit move through me, Lord. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. I give all myself to Thee. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Let your spirit move through me, Lord. Here I am.
Yes, my God. Hallelujah. Come for me, Lord. Oh, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Everything in the Lord's will. Thank you, Lord.
Will you stand for the Word of God?
Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Well, good afternoon, everybody. Glad you could join us here at the Apostolic Assembly of Jesus Christ here in Soldotna, Alaska. I want to welcome our visitors and all our online folks. We're real glad to have you today. We're glad that the weather's changing this. Spring is on its way, and resurrection's only two Sundays from now. So keep that in mind. That's a beautiful time of the year and an old spiritual time of the year that, for me anyway. I've had a lot of issues in my life, but it seemed like Resurrection Sunday was, I got a new start, and everything changed around. So anyway, glad to have you here today. We're having a potluck tonight after service, so stick around, play a few games, and get to know each other just a little bit better. Amen. We want to keep praying for each other. Keep Ryan and Maria in your prayers, man. They are going through a really, really, really rough time. Wow. I can't even imagine. But they're a young couple. They're in excellent physical health. And you just never know. And they're going through it like troopers, but I know the prayers that everybody's got out for them is helping them be strong in these really trying times. Amen. I just had a few notes there. One of them is just how bad we need each other, especially in these end days. That spirit of Satan in this world is so strong. And there's so much division and anger and discontent. We need to be peacemakers. We need to be a good example everywhere we go. That's why we need to pray for each other. And ask yourself a question here tonight. Do you really actually pray for each other and have a burden for each other and a concern that you really want to do something to help them? If all you can do is pray, do you have that concern for each other? Do you have that trust in your brother and sister that you'd lay down your life for them? You know, if we don't have that trust and love for each other the way the Bible teaches we should have, we'll never have the unity in this body that we're supposed to have. And without that unity, we can't do the work. Amen? Amen. I mean, that's the way it is. So, if you got anything hidden in your heart, one way or the other, God can take that away. He can take it away. I don't care if it's 30 years old or 30 minutes old. God's a God of miracles, and He changes us. He gives us different feelings. He puts us in a place where we have to trust Him sometimes, but a lot of times it's up to us to have our faith and trust in God. Amen. That's another one. Another question I had here was just, do we reach out for new ones when they come through the door? Do we reach out to each other? Are we just comfortable with a certain amount of people that we're around? Maybe they think like we do or like the things we like. I mean, maybe some people are a little bit introverted. And it takes somebody that's a little bit outgoing to go to them and make them feel that you love them. Not just in words, but let them feel, do things that show that you love them. Amen. I talked a little bit about 2 weeks from now we're having a resurrection. We have communion. And there's nothing, saints of the Most High God, that He can't do for us if we're in one mind and accord. There's nothing. There's nothing holding us back. And we need that unity. And we need to put anything that's out there under the blood and keep it there. Not just put it there for the day, but forever, like He does us. Another note I had here, do you trust the leadership here? Do you actually trust the leadership? Because it's either all of God or none of it's of God. There's nothing going on in this church that you can't trust. Nothing. And so it's up to you to put yourself in submission to God, not the pastors or anybody else. When you submit to God, you come underneath all His rules. And He's got pastors and deacons and things like that in His word that are there to help His people. That's the only reason they're there. They're to help His people. And everybody's not cut out to do the job. If God puts somebody in there that he wants in there, it doesn't make any difference how much paperwork you have, where you went to school, or anything else. If God puts somebody in there for his people, you have to believe that. You have to believe this word of God. So the pastor, assistant pastor, whoever that God puts up there, puts in authority, they are supposed to be a servant. They're supposed to be humble. They're supposed to be a good example. They're supposed to be all these things. But you look all the way through the Bible, and God's people, even his leaders, have had problems over the years. They're human. They're human. I mean, look at Moses. Look at David. And look what happened to some of the people that actually exposed Moses to the whole nation of Israel, how God felt about that. We need to have love, compassion, and mercy on all of us, from the top all the way to the bottom. Amen. I got a couple of notes here about pastors and their work and the things they're supposed to do. But we all have the Holy Ghost. If we don't, we're seeking it. But we all have the same spirit. We're different people, but we got the same spirit. So we should be in one mind and accord. Amen? I mean, that's scripture. I mean, I'm not bringing anything out here that's not scripture. Now, in my studies here, and I'm going to try to have a teaching on it later on, but there it talks about in the churches in this day and age, because of the way psychology and all this is changing things around, that there's an independent spirit out here that they won't believe, they won't do. They might believe, but they won't, well, they can't believe, or else they do it. But they don't believe that anybody can tell them anything. They go by the word of God, and if they agree with it or want to do something, they do it. If they don't, it doesn't make any difference who the leaders are. But that will take you down. When God sets you in, it's like going to work, all right? You got rules and regulations at work. If you don't want to abide by them, they usually run you off, right? That's how it works. So God set his church up the same way. And you know, you can't make anybody do anything. But you don't want to come in contact with a God that's angry. You don't want to cause division in God's body. You want to be a working unit, a fine-tuned oil machine that doesn't miss a lick. And that's basically what we teach about. The unity, the love, and what we're supposed to be to the world as far as being an example and how we're supposed to live our life. That we might win it, just at least one soul to God. One soul. If each one of us won one soul, and that soul won one soul, do you think how many people you could win in a matter of 4 or 5 years? It'd be unbelievable. And that's our calling. That's all of our callings. Let's go to Jeremiah, the third chapter. Start out there. There's quite a bit to this chapter, but I'm only going to read one verse. Jeremiah, the third chapter, verse 15. Now, this is God speaking. And this is the same God yesterday as we have today. Verse 15, "And I will give you pastors according to mine own heart, which shall feed you with the knowledge and understanding." Now, that's God. He sits in just like your job, a foreman or superintendent or some kind of an authoritative figure in your life. No matter what, if you go to school, it's a school teacher. If you go to a job, it's your boss. If you go to church, it's your pastors. That's how it works. And God puts a love in a pasture for his sheep. And it's a supernatural love. It's that agape love that we talked about before. He puts that in his pastures for his sheep if they will actually lay down their life for their brother. Actually, just the life that you have to live to be a pastor in a church is you lay down your life. You don't have a life after that. Your life revolves around what happens in the church, what happens with the people. If you get an extra 5 minutes for yourself, fine. If you don't, you can't have an attitude about it. You go the extra mile for God's people. But in the same token, you need to go that way for each other. I mean, they're an example to you, and then you should be an example to everybody you meet, especially your brothers and sisters in God. Amen? I don't find this Word of God boring. I find this Word of God exciting, instructive, and it'll keep you on the right path if you're humble enough to take it in. If you get up here where you're too spiritual for all this stuff, you miss a lot. You miss an awful lot. Let's go over to the Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Just a couple of verses here. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. We'll start out in verse 11. This is just how God set the church up. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, and helps. I added helps. Another place in the Bible that's the same things are in there and it says helps. So everybody's got a place in this body. Everybody. Does it make any difference if you're old, young, or anywhere in between? If you got some physical ailments, or if you're in perfect health, there's a spot for you in this church, and there's places that you can show God's glory. Amen? Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's how he set it up right there. We're all little worker bees. That's what reminds me of a bunch of army ants. We got things to do. And we need to be busy doing them. Especially now it's getting warm out there. There's lots of things we can do. And there's going to be a lot more here in the next month or two. So that being said, you need to start planning ahead and don't everything that you want to do can take second place once in a while. Put God's work first. Amen. Let's go to 1 Peter 5. First part of this here is about a pastor, but the second part is what he imparts to the people, and that's the way they should try to live. And they can live. With the power of the Holy Ghost, you can do everything that's in this Bible. Amen? First Peter, the fifth chapter. Let's start out with verse 1. Put your spiritual ears on, please. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also I am an elder, and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight, therefore, not by constraint, you don't make anybody do nothing, but willingly, not for the money, not for the pomp and ceremony, you don't do it for that, but of a ready mind. You want to do it. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now that's the pastor. That's what you're supposed to be. But there's not one out there yet that's perfect, so. And they might not say everything that you want to hear and do everything that you think they should do. But if they're called of God and they love God, they're going to be doing their very best. Amen. Okay, verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Humble yourself a little bit. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Boy, I'll tell you what. How many times when I'm studying this thing, humility comes up. It's a daily battle to be humble. A daily battle. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Well, we want all the grace we can get from God, right? Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. If you do everything under God when it's time, you're going to get accolades from your workplace, from your school, from anywhere or any time you do something for God. It's not unseen and it's not forgotten. God rewards those that diligently seek him and that bring him glory. Verse 7, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. God cares. We had testimonies tonight about how much God loves us and cares about us. Think about our own lives. All the love that God showed us and the patience and the mercy. And how much of that do we show each other? Or even the world? If you can't be kind and courteous and loving, understanding in your own home, you don't have a chance when you go out them doors. You can play the role, but it's not going to work. Sooner or later, you're going to slip and they're going to see, oh, man, what have we got here? Another hypocrite. Because that's how they look at us. When we say we're living for God and we don't measure up, we're hypocrites, and they know it. And the world's full of them. Amen? It's our job. It's not even up for discussion. This is what we're supposed to do, the way we're supposed to live. Here's the problem. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walk about seeking whom he may devour. Now we know we don't fight against flesh and blood. It's that spirit of Satan that manipulates people. It makes our life miserable sometimes. And we look at the person instead of where it's coming from. Verse 9. Whom resisteth steadfast the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Everybody goes through these things. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. That's what all these trials are for. That's what it does to us, if we'll let it. If we'll go through them the right way, this is what happens to us. It makes us strong. It makes us solid. You can't move us. You can't move a Christian that's really, really full of faith. You ain't going to move them. I don't care what happens to them. They're not going away. They know his voice, and they're going to go with it. I mean, that's kind of nice to know that you're unmovable if you want to be. Amen? I mean, I love the Word of God when it comes to this kind of stuff especially. I know that nobody's got any control over my life but God. And it's my choice is that either take that away from him or let him do whatever he wants with my life. It's totally up to me. And that's how it is with all of us. Verse 11, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We serve a loving God. Amen. And a merciful God, and a God that you can't even put into words. I love living for God, man. Let's go to Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter. This here's a little bit about Paul and the apostles and the love, that agape love that God's put with his pastors, overseers. There's nothing that they won't go through for God's people. You think about, we got to stand alongside of Paul and Peter and John and all the rest of them. We have to stand alongside of them. So, what are we giving God? I mean, how much are we giving God? These people were running for their life half the time. I mean, they got beat, tortured, you name it. Got very little sleep, probably ate hardly anything most of the time. But they didn't say nothing about it. They just kept going and going, doing God's work. Because they had that heavenly vision. And if you don't have that heavenly vision, you're not going to be able to do this stuff. Because you're going to be looking at what's going on right now instead of what's going on, what's really going on. Because this is nothing. This life is nothing. We're not even born for anything this life except for to prove ourselves for the next one. That's all this is all about. We put everything we got into this life to get ahead, be able to do stuff and all that. Look good, go places, and it's over with. It can be over when you're 20, it can be over when you're 110. What have you accomplished? If you haven't got the next one ready, it's all for naught. That's why we need to retrain our mind, because our mind is geared to the natural. That's why that battle's in there every day, between the natural and the spiritual. It's up to us to fight the battle. He gave us everything we need. One of these things in my notes here is he gives you all the tools. Somebody said that in their testimony tonight. He gives us all the tools we need to live a holy, overcoming life. Amen? It's up to us to use them. And we talk about light switches. You know, that there's all kinds of power in that cord right there, but if I don't flip the switches, not going to help me any. Same way with this Word of God and using the Holy Ghost. If you don't use it, it's worthless. It's not going to do nothing for you. That's why prayer and study is so important, man. I've said it before. I wish I'd have started studying and praying as much as I do now, way back when. There's no, you know, it doesn't have to be anybody else know it, but the relationship you can have with God. The things that God can show you in His Word and in prayers is, I can't tell anybody about it. I can't even explain it. But it's out there for each and every one of us. You got to make the effort to do it though. You have to take time to reach out to God, and He'll show you stuff and bless you like you've never even known possible. But it's you got the keys. All you got to do is turn the switch. But that natural don't want to do that. That natural wants to sit down and watch TV. I've had a hard day. You know, you can have a snack and still study for 15 or 20 minutes. One thing I found out about this Word of God, it's addicting. Just learning is addicting. The more I learn, the more I want to learn. I can't even sit down sometimes. I'll sit down and think I'm going to relax for a few minutes, and I'll start thinking about something. I'll run over and grab my Bible and start taking notes. And that was so alien to me. 20 years ago, it wasn't even funny. I studied, but nothing like this. There's a lot in here, man, about just about life, but especially about us, about ourselves. Don't you want to know who you are so you can change? I mean, you need to know what you are, how you line up to the Word of God before you can change. If you don't see it, you can't change. If you don't do any investigation, you'll never find out what you're really like. What you think you're like is not what you're like. I can tell you that right now. None of us are. I had a little thing at the slope one time. You took a test. I don't remember all about it, but there was three or four different things. What you think you are, what people think you are, and what you really are. It was pretty amazing. I mean, and that was a natural thing. This Word of God is spiritual. This will show you. If you look at it, it'll show you. 1 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, verse 1. And this talks about Paul and their sufferings and all the things they went through just to bring this Word of God, because they had that burning desire to bring this Word of God to people. And we need to have that same burning desire. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you that it was not in vain. But even after that, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know. At Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. That shows you right there, everything that they did, it was an uphill battle. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanliness, nor of guile, but as we were allowed of God to put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. Not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. See, God knows what's in your heart. If you don't have that burning desire to share what you got from God, you need to get more from God. Because when you got something that really means a lot to you, you want to tell people about it. You want to share it with them. Amen? I do. If I got something that's pretty cool, I want somebody to know about it. I want them to enjoy it just as much as I do. How much more so the spiritual? This is eternal. This is real. Verse 5, for neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, not a cloak of covetous. God is my witness, or God is a witness. God sees everything we do. They didn't do any of this thing other than for their love of God. And God gave them the love for his people. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, not yet, of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. That's a pastor's love. That's an agape love. You know, a nurse, you get a good nurse and she just takes care of every little thing. If you ever had anything really seriously wrong with you, and you were lucky enough to get a nurse that really, really was good at her job, there's nothing like that. It takes a special person to be a really good nurse. It really does. And I've had some really good nurses over the years. And I let them know that I'm so, no matter how sick I was or whatever, I always let them know just how thankful I was that they had the mercy and compassion for me, that they did. I always tried to share God with them too. Verse 8, so being affectionately desirous of you, we willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear to us. Just digest those words right there. Don't go over them too fast. Go slow. We miss a lot when we just read through this Bible, man. You go slow, we look up some of the words that you don't really understand, and that's a whole different study in itself. Verse 9, for you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for the laboring night and day, because would not be chargeable unto you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. They did everything they could do to be a good witness and example. Not taking anything from the people, nothing. Just they want anybody to find fault with them. If they did, they wanted to make sure it wasn't true. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believed. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his children. Just when I read this, I could see was just this awesome love that God's pastors had for his people, for his sheep. I mean, their life was on the line every day. Verse 12, that you would walk worthy of God, who has called you into this kingdom and glory. We got to be worthy. We got to be. And I don't mean like we're worthy people. I just mean we got to be holy. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is truth, the word of God, which effectual worketh also in you that believe. They were hungry. They had the love for the truth, these people he was talking to. They were young. They were just a pretty newborn church, but they had this love, man. When they heard the word of God, they wanted to know about it. Same way everybody here did, right? Let's go to 1 Peter 1. First Peter 1, start out in verse 13. We're only going to read about three verses here. He's just telling them here to just basically just be a holy people. Just don't do anything you did before. Be holy. Verse 13, wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind. There we go again. Gird up that mind. Be sober and hope to the end of the grace that is in brought unto you as the revelation of Jesus Christ. You heard about this death, burial, and resurrection. As obedient children, not fashion yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. You didn't know nothing about this. You weren't as accountable. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Verse 16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen. That's the word of God right there. We have to be holy. We need to be holy and a good example to every situation we come in contact with. Wherever we go, wherever we do, we don't want anybody pointing a finger at God's people. Because when they can find something wrong with one body of people, everybody in that church is that way. Right? It's true. Bad news travels fast. And we don't want to give them any bullets. Amen. 1 Peter, 3rd chapter. Child of God should have this going on between him and God. As we read this, you can take your own inventory. Everything that was said here is not for everybody, but there should be something here for everybody. Everything in this Word of God and every teaching shouldn't affect everybody, but there should be something in here for everybody that's in here. Amen. 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, start out in verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion, one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Do you feel that way towards your brothers and sisters in God? I mean, this is a soul-searching moment. If you don't feel this way, you can, but you're going to take a little prayer. And say, God, I don't feel like that. Give it to me. He says you don't have it because you don't ask. We need to ask. We need to get as close to God as we can. And then that just goes on out from there to each and every one of us. Verse 9, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that you are therefore called, that you should inherit a blessing. We're working for something. We're working for eternity with him. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that speak no guile. We already know about that tongue. That's an unruly member that nobody can tame. The Holy Ghost is the only thing that can tame that tongue. The only thing. And you better stay full of the Holy Ghost or you still can't contain it. Amen. Yeah. Verse 11. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. That ensue means to just do everything you can to avoid evil. Avoid temptation. Don't do anything like that. And the second part of that is you do everything you can do in any situation, to be a peacemaker. We need to be peacemakers. When we hear something negative in a conversation at work or wherever, you know, yeah, you're right. We bring something positive to the table. We're peacemakers. We don't join in there and pile it on. We say, whoa, hold it. Pretty soon, your coworkers get the message. You're not part of that. You don't want to be any of that. Well, something to think about. Verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So we don't want that face against us. We want it with us. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Nobody has any control over our life but us. If we put our hands in God's ways, whatever happens to us, God's got control over. If we try to take that control back, then we're back in the world again. They do have control over sin. Don't give them any reason to find fault with you. Verse 14, but as you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is within you, with meekness and fear. You give this word of God out in a loving, compassionate way. You don't give it out to browbeat somebody and put them down and all that stuff. You give it out of love. You let them know you really care about them. You want to share something with them, not humiliate them and you don't have what I got and all that. We don't do that. We do, when we share this word of God, it's because we love and we have compassion for mankind. Amen. And I know I've had this done to me before. I've been browbeaten. And it's not a good feeling. And then all it did was alienate me from people that were supposed to be holy, supposed to be spiritual. But then I found out the truth, and I found out how you're supposed to act. And then I found out you have the power to act the way the Bible says you're supposed to live. Verse 16, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you, your good conversation in Christ. For it is better that if the will of God be so, that you suffer for a while for your well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, that just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. All the things that happened to Jesus, and he never did contest any of that stuff, even up to death. He even prayed for the people when he was dying, forgive them. If he can do that, in our daily lives, we can't overlook one little thing. I mean, think about that. I mean, I have to think about it myself. When I'm thinking about something that I might be slighted a little bit about, even though I might not say nothing, I might be slighted a little bit by it. I think, you know, can I get a life? I mean, you're going to let something that small bother you? Pray for the person. They probably didn't mean it anyway. That's the attitude we should have. Amen. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, the third chapter. When I start out reading some of this stuff, think about it to yourselves. Does anything in these scriptures remind you of what's going on today? I think you feel like you're reading the newspaper here. 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter, start out in verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Does that sound familiar? That's the way the world is right now. That's exactly how it is. Without natural affection, that's going to be a really big deal here pretty soon, because that's going to have to be taught. We're going to have to step up to the plate. They're pushing that to the point where we're going to have to say something about it. without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce. Look at the anger out there. Despisers of those that are good. And then they take the good and make the bad out of it, and they make the good or the bad good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, for such turn away. Don't be part of this world. Don't look like them, don't act like them, don't talk like them. Period. Be holy. You know, you can look at a person that's got the Holy Ghost. They got a radiant look to them. They just do. It's awesome to look at somebody that's really, really prayed up. They got a little glow about them. And that's how you should be out in that world, because that's one of the things that draws people to God. What has this guy got, or what has she got? She doesn't respond the way I do to situations that are negative. She's a peacemaker. He's a peacemaker. Verse 6, for this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now James and Jambres withstood Moses, so do they also resist the truth. Men of corruption, corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no farther, for their folly shall be manifested unto all men, as there also was. Nothing's going to be hid one of these days. It's all going to be brought to light. The secrets of people's hearts, all the rotten things that are going on in this world and have gone on for centuries, will all be brought to light. Because a lot of that stuff was done as good. You know, so-and-so is so nice. And they all, a lot of that stuff was done with a different motive. And that's the part that God's going to expose. Verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, the way I live, my example, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience towards you. Persecutions, afflictions came unto me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lysia. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Right there it tells you, no matter what you go through, God's going to deliver you. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. That's part of it. If you're going to live for God, you're going to get persecuted. He says, if you're going to reign with me, you've got to suffer with me. And that's part of suffering. Verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and has been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Talking about Timothy, he learned all this stuff from not only from the relations that had the Holy Ghost, but from his grandma and his mom. They brought him up in these scriptures. They were a good example of this young man. Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. This is what scripture's for. For reproof, for correction, and this is what the pastor's job is, to bring this to the people. For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All the tools you need. Let's go into chapter 4. This is going to be final scriptures here. Verse 1, this is for the pastor. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Now a pastor has to take this to heart. This is what he's got to carry. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And that's how I ran into this independent spirit in studying this part of the teaching. Is we need to bring that out, because somebody that has an independent spirit, they're never fully under the control of the Holy Ghost. They're always got a little something here, a little something here that they don't agree with, or they're not going to do. It don't have to be much. But then that grows and grows and grows. And then when they're not happy, they make sure they got somebody that they can talk to, and then that person's not happy. And even if they recover, and they've talked to four or five people, the people they've talked to might not recover. They might lose their soul over something that you said to them. And God will hold you accountable for that too. Verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of the ministry. And here's what we all want to be able to say on our deathbed, dying period, whatever you want to call that. Because there's a lot of different ways you can die. You can die instantly, or you can die inch by inch. But if you know this here, between you and God, according to His Word, if you know this in your heart, you don't have nothing to worry about. For I am now ready to be offered, at the time my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that also have the love at his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. We want to be able to say that. We want to be able to feel that way. Not have to be worried about when we get called home. To be called home and be joyful about it. The part of, I'm talking about joyful is knowing where you're going to go. I know it's a little scary between here and there, but it can happen in your sleep. And it can happen a lot of other ways too. But we got to be ready. The bottom line is we need to be ready 24/7. I don't care how old we are or young we are. Amen. As we get ready for all the call here, that's all the scriptures I have for tonight. If you got anything at all in your life that's not pleasing to God, if you got any problems with a brother or sister, if you got anything that you need God to take care of, if you need the Holy Ghost, and we all need it. If you don't have enough of it, that's what this altar is for, all these things. So please, come up here and get what God's got for you and what you need. I love you all. Thank you for your attendance. Have a wonderful week. And share some of this gospel with your friends and your coworkers and anybody you meet. My opening line was going to be, have you used any of your gifts this week? Well, we all got a gift of the Holy Ghost, right? So we can use that no matter what happens. Okay. I love you.